Hello and welcome to this special archive release from the Beyond podcast. This episode has been available to our lovely patrons for nearly 3 years, I think. But I thought, well, it's nearly Christmas and we haven't posted about John Heywood for ages. So here's a live recording of a cut-down version of Gentleness and Nobility by John Heywood and John Rastall, though I'm not 100% certain if any of the stuff attributed to Rastall is actually in this recording. You can hear the full cast audio adaptation elsewhere on the podcast, see the show notes, along with every other John Heywood play. But this is from a live show where we played with showing off sections of his work in the early days of the podcast. Sadly, the recording wasn't a technical success. We couldn't set up microphones as we wished in the space, and the floor creaked. So this is a general field recording of the reading rather than something more polished, but it is perfectly listenable, he said. As I said, this has been available to date only to our patrons, and there's a host of other special material only featured on the Patreon feed. Exclusive weekly releases of jests from jest books, readings from significant prose works, currently I'm working through The Mirror for Magistrates, and early releases of our audio and video content. The more patrons we get, the more work we can do. So join us at patreon.com/beyondshakespeare and get more. This recording features Geir Madland as the introductory voice and the ploughman, Hayden McCabe as the knight, and Rob Meissen as the merchant. And I've been your host, Robert Crichton.
Gentleness and Nobility, written with John Rastall. It debated the big issues of any day. Who deserves to be considered the most important in society? The rich member of the aristocracy? The rich member of the merchant class? Or the working farmer? So, here's a cut-down version of the play, especially for you, ladies and gentlemen. We present Gentleness and Nobility.
Oh, what a great wealth and prosperity it is to have any realm where merchants be having free liberty and intercourse. Also, all merchandise to convey to and fro. Which thing I have used, and the very feet found, and thereby gotten many a £1,000. Wherefore now, because of my great riches throughout this land, in every place, doubtless I am magnified and greatly regarded, and for a wise and noble man esteemed.
Yes, Martyr Merchant, I hear you right well, but now in presumption we think ye excel. To call yourself noble in presence here, and of what great stock descended you be, your father was but a blacksmith, pardie.
Why, sir, what then? What be you, I pray?
Marry, I am a gentleman, I would ye know, and may dispense yearly 500 mark land, and I am sure all that ye have in hand of yearly rent is not worth 5 marks.
But would thou knowest, for all thy cracks, I am able to buy now all the land that thou hast, and pay for it out of hand, which I have got by mine own labour and wit.
Yet art thou but a churl, and I have a scorn. Thou shouldest compare with me, a gentleman born.
Why, what callest thou a gentleman? Tell me.
Marry, I call them gentlemen that be born to great lands by inheritance, as mine ancestors, by continuance, have had this 500 years, of whom now I am descended and come lineally.
All that is true, I will not deny now. Mm-hmm. Yet I am more gentleman born than thou, for I call him a gentleman that gently doth give unto other men lovingly such things as he hath of his own proper. And he that taketh aught away from another and doth give nothing again, therefore ought to be called a churl evermore.
Really?
But mine ancestors have given always to thine ancestors. Such things as they by their labours did truly get and win. For mine ancestors builded houses wherein thine ancestors have had their dwelling place. Also, mine ancestors have made tools to all manner crafty men belonging.
I deny that ever the ancestors of thine did ever give to the ancestors of mine at any time anything, except that they gave somewhat, therefore, either where or possibly
Mary, mine. God a mercy, John, for that now. That's even a pick of her own sow. How can lords and estates have aught in store except the artificers to get it before?
I grant that the artificers do make it, but because commonly they have little wit, gentlemen that have lands and dominion of all such riches have most possessions. For reason will, even it should so be, wise men to have fools in captivity.
Marry, as for wit and subtle invention, mine ancestors with thine may make comparison. For though my father were a smith, what then? Yet was he a marvellous, quick-witted man.
Yes, Iwis, Lou Javel, I would thou knowest. Mine ancestors have had more wisdom and wit than thine have had, and could do also many things that thine could never do. For in the country at sessions and sighs they have been elect to be justice, and for their wit and great discretion they have judged and done correction upon thine ancestors' artificers, that have made falsewares and been deceivers.
Nay, nay. Thine ancestors came never all to authority for wisdom principle. For though some were, well, they were wise, yet some of them again had small discretion, little wit or brain. But because of the long continuance of their great possessions by inheritance, by foolish manners of the world we see, for that cause ever they have had authority.
Now, here is bibble-bubble, clitter-clatter. I never heard of so foolish a matter, but by God's body, to speak the truth, I'm better than either of you both.
Oh, a fake corn-torted cur, from whence comest thou?
Marry, foolish, peevish door, even from my plough. Now sayst, wouldest anything therewithal?
Yea, marry, thou lewd villain and rude rascal. It is for the full ill-beseeming to perturb any gentleman's talking.
Gentlemen? Ye gentlemen, Jack Erin. Put your shoon in your bosom for wearing. I account myself, by God's body, better than you both, and more worthy. Here you may be, sirs, by God's passion. Two proud fools make a cracking, and when it cometh to point, dare do nothing.
Our cometh hither, is, and our intent is not to fight, but by way of argument, every man to show his opinion.
Yes.
To see who should show the best reason to prove himself noble and most gentleman.
By God! All the reasons since you began that you have made thereof be not worth a fly.
No, sir. I pray thee, then, tell me why.
Well, first, as touching nobleness, I say there is neither of you both did prove or lay any of your acts whereby that ye should in reason prove you noble to be.
Yes, touching myself, I dare make comparison of as noble deeds as he hath any done. For I am and have been one of the chivalry, at the commandment of my prince, ever ready, and every time of war have been captain and leader of 1,000 men or twain. The rents of my lands have been spent liberally, and kept a great house continually, and helped to punish thieves and bribers always, to the great tranquillity of my country. And you, master merchant, will never take labour, except it be for your own profit and lucre.
Go to! Now, master merchant, there's a reason that giveth you a taunt. I trow more than you can answer well.
Nay, wist peevish and rude Jack Javel. I can make an answer so substantial whereto neither of you is able to reply.
Oh, if thou canst answer my reason, please do.
That can I well do.
Well, then go to, fool, go to.
I say the common weal of every land in feet merchandise doth principally stand. For if our commodities be uttered for naught into strange lands and no riches brought hither therefore, we should come to beggary, and all men driven to live in misery. Then we noble merchants that in this realm be, what a great wealth to this land do we. We utter our wares and buy theirs good cheap, and bring them hither with great profit.
You can.
And I spend my study and labour continually, and cause such things to come hither daily, for the comfort of this land and commonwealth, and to all the people great profit and health. And for such noble deeds, reasonable then that I ought to be called a nobleman. And neither of you both are here now, being nobleness, may I compare with me.
I have no need of no manner of thing that ye can do to help of my living. For everything whereby ye do live, I nourish it, and to you both do give. So both you should die, or live in necessity, if ye have not comfort and help of me. And as for your fine cloth and costly array, I cannot see why you ought or may call yourself noble because ye wear it, which was made by other men's labour and wit. Therefore, to speak now of necessity, there's neither of you both put ye be in more need than I. Therefore I say plain, I am more noble than either of you twain.
Now, that is a foolish reason, so God me save. For by the same reason thou wouldst have every beast, fish and other fowl than to be more noble of birth than a man.
Yet methinketh more honour should be given to him which is of noble blood and kin.
Oh. Well, then if thou wilt look honoured to be because of thy blood, then mark well and see the vilest beggar that goeth by the door. Mm. Had ye not both one God and Creator? The beggar and thou were both doubtless conceived and born in filth and uncleanness. Right. Alas, I've known many ere this, so proud of their birth that all their lives would give them to no labour nor learning, which brought them to miserable ending that in poverty wretchedly did die, or fallen to theft and hanged there full high. So I say virtue and good conditions then is that which maketh the very gentleman. And though the father may bequeath to the son his riches, his land and his possession, yet may he neither give nor bequeath unto him in no wise after his death his virtue nor his gentle conditions. Yeah. They cannot descend as other possessions, and if thou wilt be a gentleman, needs then thou must use virtue and gentle deeds.
If gentle conditions be the cause, then will I compare with both you two, for I have ever used gentle manner. And so have my ancestors that before were. Oh, you see. For first of all, when this world began, long after there were but few people then, we had sufficient of everything, without great labour for food and clothing. All thing was in common amongst them, doubtless. But afterwards, when people did increase, each man, to increase his pleasure and volupty of goods and lands, desired property, whereof great strife and debate did arise. Then such as mine ancestors were, that were wise, did study to make laws how the people might be, living together in peace and unity. And against enemies always defended the people that tilled the ground and laboured. The people, perceiving them their goodness, their great wit, discretion and gentleness, were content to give them part of the profit, coming of their lands which they did get, as corn, cattle, and such other things a one. But after, when the coin of money began, they changed those revenues and were content to give them in money an annual rent. So, for their good and virtuous conditions, they came first to lands and possessions. So possessions began and were first found upon a good and reasonable ground.
By God's sweet body, thou liest falsely. All possessions began first of tyranny.
Tyranny?
Aye, for when people began first to increase, some gave themselves all to idleness and would not labour, but take by violence that other men gat by labour and diligence. Then they that laboured were fain to give them part of their gettings in peace to live, or else for their lands, money, a portion, so possession began by extortion. And when such extortioners had oppressed the labouring people, then they ordained and made laws marvellous straight and hard, that their heirs might enjoy it afterward. So the law of inheritance was first begun. Which is a thing against all good reason that any inheritance in the world should be.
That is a shameful opinion, seemeth me. For when I have laboured and by great study got and purchased lands truly, it is good reason that I have liberty to give those lands to whom it liketh me, or else to let them descend lineally to my child or cousin of my blood most nigh. For inheritance must needs be a good thing, because of so much good thereof is proceeding. Every man to his blood such love doth bear, because the land shall descend to his heir. He will build thereon, and the land improve, and make corn and grass to increase and grow, and amend the highways that there be about, and do many other good deeds, no doubt. For the profit of his heirs that shall be, and for the commonwealth of his country, which thing surely he would never intend if the land should not to his heir descend.
By thy reason, no other thing is meant but a good deed upon an evil intent. When men for love or pride do such good deeds, the devil therefore shall quit them their needs.
Whether God or the devil quit them therefore, is an out to our purpose nevertheless. For their minds and interests no man can tell, but touching inheritance, this I wrote well. Much good cometh thereof, and daily doth grow.
Nay, much ill cometh thereof. I shall prove how. For these men that be of great possessions, unto their blood have such affections. If any lands like them that lieth nigh them, of their poor neighbours, they will destroy them, or by extort means they will then compel the land for half the money worth to sell. And when they take money, they will always ever borrow and never willing to pay. And when they shall die, ye see the experience, few of them have remorse of conscience to make any manner of restitution of any land so wrongfully gotten.
Thou hast spoken sore against gentlemen, but what say thou about merchants then?
Why, many be good and worshipful also, and many charitable deeds they do. Build churches, and the men in the highways, make almshouses, and help many decays. But some be covetous, and full falsely get their goods by deceit and usury. And when they have £1,000 in their coffers, they will rather suffer their neighbours to starve for hunger and cold and to die. Ere they will give them to help them with a penny.
Really?
And yet, moreover, when any of them be promoted to rule or authority, they disdain all learning, law, and reason, and judge all by will and affection.
Thou art but a railer to speak so sore against gentlemen and merchants evermore.
Yeah.
Be not ploughmen and others that drive the cart, and such rustical fellows as thou art, false shrews, and live as viciously also as gentlemen and of lands and merchants do?
Yes, these villain carters, almost each one, have neither conscience nor devotion. For bribe and steal and everything they will, if they may secretly come there until.
Yet gentlemen and the rich merchants that be use much more vice and iniquity.
Why, thinkest thou all merchants and gentlemen naught?
Nay, say not so. That's not my thought. I'm not yet so foolish or so mad, for I know many good, though some be bad. Yet some will suffer his debts unpaid to be, and die and jeopard his soul, rather than he will any of his lands minish and impair that should have after his death come to his heir. And some of them so proud be of their blood, and use small virtue and do little good. But give all their minds and their study to oppress the poor people by tyranny.
By God, sweet buddy, thou art a stark knave. Noblemen and gentlemen, thus to deprave.
What, thou proud horse and fool, whom dost thou knave? I trow thou wouldest a good blow or two have, with a good whipstock to teach thee courtesy.
Avaunt, cankered nerve, I defy thee.
What, wilt thou wage battle by and by now? That shall I prove straight, I make God avow.
Keep thy peace, gentlemen. Hold your hands for shame. To make this business ye be greatly to blame, ye will disturb all this whole company.
Nay, marry, 'tis a cause to make them merry. To walk such a proud fool is but sport and game.
By cock's body, were it not for worldly shame, I should cut thy flesh, or else see thy heart's blood.
Sir, hold your tongue. Your words be nothing good. We lose here with this lewd altercation. Much good pastime and recreation.
Nay, I'm neither mad nor drunken yet. For my opinion, I have well proved it. By substantial reason and argument that inheritance is not convenient, and show better reasons than thou canst do.
Since I see he standeth in his own conceit, that opinion we shall never expel. From him by no argument or reason. Therefore now, for a little season, let us depart from him. I hold it best. Then we shall have him from him some rest.
Yes, I agree thereto. For Cato saith this. Contra verbosis poli contendra verbis. Contend nor argue never in no matter with him that is full of words and clatter.
Therefore, a season, let us both depart.
I am agreed thereto with all mine heart.
Why, sirs, then will ye depart and be gone?
Yeah, that we will. Farewell for a season. For to tarry here longer, we see no great cause.
Then fare ye well, as wise as two doors. And I pray God send you such grace, both twain, to be stark cuckolds ere you come again. Now, masters, they be both gone away. Therefore, one word. Now, hark what I say. We see well now, by plain experience, when a man is set in a willful credence, all to fortify his own opinion. If God himself then would with him reason, in effect it shall no more avail than with a whip to drive a snail. Therefore, no remedy is that I can see for evil men that be in authority. But let them alone, till God will send a time till our governors may intend of all enormities the reformation. Bring in their hands the rod of correction, and the reforming of injuries themselves see, and will say precisely, thus it shall be. For exhortations, teaching and preaching, jesting and railing, they mend nothing. For the amendment of the world is not in me, nor all the great arguments that we three have made since we reasoned here together do not prevail the weight of a feather for the helping of anything that is amiss. We cannot help it then, since it so is. I will let the world wag, and home I will go, and drive the plough as I was wont to do, and pray God send us peace. I will no farm there. Therefore, masters all, now fare you well.